At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're jumping into the stack of sources you've shared with us, zeroing in on a couple of really packed days for AI news, May 30th and 31st, 2025.
Yeah, what a couple of days. I mean, it was everything from huge media companies making new kinds of deals to AI getting into, like, fundamental science research.
And popping up in courtrooms, even military applications.
Exactly. It was all over the place.
Absolutely. So our mission here for this deep dive is really to pull out the most compelling bits from these updates, try to figure out what they're telling us about where AI is heading.
And why it matters to you, the listener.
Right. We've got sources covering creative tools, new hardware, military tech, and yeah, those big ongoing debates about, you know, AI's impact on jobs.
Right. So maybe let's start with AI in the content world. There's a lot happening there, deals, some disputes, and just how it's weaving into public info.
Okay. Yeah. The big headline has to be the New York Times signing its first generative AI licensing deal. And it's with Amazon. That feels, well, significant right away.
It really does. It's a multi-year thing. And basically, the deal gives Amazon access to Times content articles, recipes from NYT Cooking, even sports stuff from The Athletic.
Yeah, and the sources mentioned Amazon's got a couple of plans for it. First, using summaries and bits in products like Alexa. They did say with attribution and links, which seems important.
Very important detail. And crucially, they'll also use that material for training their own AI models.
Okay, but here's the really interesting part, right? The backdrop. The Times is also suing OpenAI and Microsoft.
Yeah, at the same time, alleging they use content without permission for training.
So they're fighting two tech giants over copyright while cutting a licensing deal with a third one. What does that tell us?
Well, it really shows the tightrope these big media players are walking. They're trying to figure out how to make money from their archives, their current stuff, in this whole AI era.
So it's like defense through lawsuits.
Exactly. And offense through deals like this one with Amazon. For you listening, it kind of shows how the AI tools you use, the info you get, is being shaped by these big corporate moves and legal fights happening behind the scenes.
That makes sense. And speaking of AI in the public sphere, we're also seeing some, let's say, potential issues cropping up.
We are, yeah. Look at the criticism around Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s M.A. Hay report. There are claims flying around that it has factual errors.
And that it kind of reads like AI wrote parts of it.
Right. Critics point to, like, repetitive phrasing, certain stylistic things you sometimes see with AI text. Now, the campaign hasn't confirmed using AI.
But the questions are there.
And it raises a big question for all of us, right? How do we trust information, especially when it's political or sensitive, if AI might be involved? And nobody's saying so. It highlights worries about unchecked AI and, you know, important communications.
Definitely underscores the need to be critical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, shifting gears slightly, but still in the public domain, a really unexpected use case in the courts.
Ah, you mean the Arizona Supreme Court? Yes. Sources say they're actually using AI-generated reporters.
AI reporters? To do what?
To summarize and publish legal updates. On their official channels, no less. The idea is apparently to streamline how they communicate with the public.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seeing AI adopted by the judiciary for public outreach like that, it's something else.
It's fascinating, isn't it? You've got this intersection of AI, transparency, government accessibility, but it also brings up questions naturally about accuracy and can the public trust info coming from an AI, even if it's official?
Yeah, good point. So whether it's these big deals, political stuff, court updates, AI is definitely changing how we get and process information.
Absolutely. And it goes way beyond just information. Let's maybe pivot to how AI is pushing boundaries, like in actual research and creative tools.
Okay, this next one feels like a genuine breakthrough. Sakana AI's AI Scientist V2. It apparently got the first ever peer-reviewed paper acceptance.
For a paper generated entirely autonomously.
That autonomous part is key, isn't it?
It's huge. Okay, it was accepted at a workshop level for ICLR 2025, which is still significant, but the AI did the whole thing. Came up with hypotheses, designed experiments, ran them, analyzed the data, wrote the paper, no human guiding those research steps.
So it's not just AI assisting researchers, it's AI being the researcher in a way.
Exactly. It signals that AI is getting capable of doing really complex end-to-end research on its own. Just think about what that could mean for, like, the speed of scientific discovery, how breakthroughs happen.
Mind-boggling potential there.
Okay.
And on the creative front, there's news from Black Forest Labs. FLUX.1 context models.
Right. These are for advanced image editing. They're described as generative flow matching models. There's a pro and a max version.
And what makes them special?
What stands out is they use both text prompts and image inputs together. So you can feed it text and a picture to guide the generation or editing. It gives you much finer control than just text to image.
Okay. And they're claiming some impressive speed too.
Yeah. Up to 8 times faster editing than some others, apparently. And they're highlighting things like good character preservation, keeping faces consistent, precise local edits, style transfer.
And keeping things consistent if you make multiple edits to the same image.
Exactly. They've even got a playground platform for businesses to try them out. For anyone creating or editing images, this sounds like a big step up in terms of power and precision with AI tools, more sophisticated control.
So yeah, AI's capabilities are definitely advancing from science labs to artist studios. Which kind of brings us nicely to AI hardware and some big strategic moves happening there.
Yeah, one of the most eye-catching ones was this partnership between Meta and Anduril, the defense tech company.
Right, they're working on military headsets together.
AI-powered military headsets, yeah. The system's called Eagle Eye, and the goal is advanced AR-VR headsets specifically for the U.S. military.
How does it work? What's the AI doing?
It integrates Meta's AI models with Anduril's autonomy software. The idea is to enhance a soldier's senses on the battlefield, let them interact with AI-driven weapons or systems.
That's a pretty big move for Meta, getting into defense tech like that.
It is. And it's also a reunion with Palmer Luckey, who founded Oculus and is now at Anduril.
This definitely raises some big questions, though. A major consumer tech company making military gear. Ethical implications of AI and warfare. How these enhanced AI and XR capabilities might change things on the ground.
Absolutely. Complex stuff. And speaking of big tech hardware plays, Amazon's apparently got something cooking too.
Yeah, very hush-hush. A new internal team called Zero One within their devices division.
And it's led by Jay Allard from the original Xbox days at Microsoft.
That's the one. Apparently their mission is pretty broad. Mm-hmm. Invent groundbreaking consumer products, hardware and software from start to finish. But no specifics leaked yet.
So Amazon's clearly making a big strategic bet on next-gen consumer hardware. It could be smart home stuff. Could be something totally new. We'll have to watch that Zero One team. It might give us clues about future everyday tech driven by AI.
From secret projects at Amazon to making things more open, Hugging Face is jumping into robotics now.
Yeah, Hugging Face. Known for making AI models accessible, now they're doing hardware. 2 new open-source humanoid robots.
Okay, tell me about them.
There's Hope JR, that's a full-sized humanoid, 66 degrees of freedom, so lots of movement possible. It walks, complex arm stuff, priced around $3,000.
Okay, so still pricey, but maybe more accessible for researchers.
Right, and then there's the Reachy Mini, much smaller, desktop unit, more for testing AI applications, and that one's only like $250,
$300. Wow, okay, that's huge. Hugging Face bringing their open source, accessible approach to actual robots, that could really open things up for developers, hobbyists, democratize robotics development.
Could be a game changer for letting more people experiment with physical AI.
And on the bigger investment scale, the government's involved too, the Department of Energy.
Yeah, launching a new AI supercomputer.
With a specific goal.
Very specific. Speed up discoveries in the energy sector. Things like better battery tech, climate modeling, making the power grid more resilient.
So this is serious federal investment in AI R&D.
Definitely. And it matters to you because this isn't just theory. It's aimed at solving real-world energy and climate problems. Success here could impact everything from, you know, your energy bills to national infrastructure stability. It's about keeping the U.S. competitive in practical AI applications.
Okay, so we've got military headsets, secret consumer gadgets, open source robots, massive government supercomputers.
Hardware is definitely a big piece of the AI puzzle right now.
Right. It's clear AI isn't just code. It's getting embedded in the physical world.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's maybe wrap up by looking at AI as a productivity tool and that ever-present debate about jobs.
Right. Perplexity Labs. Perplexity, the Q&A tool company, is rolling out something more ambitious.
Yeah, for their pro subscribers. It's called Labs. And it sounds like it can automatically create stuff like reports, spreadsheets, dashboards, even interactive apps.
Pretty much. It uses AI for sophisticated data visualization, research, analysis. They claim it can generate a full report in about 10 minutes.
And it connects with things like Google Sheets.
Yeah, integrations are part of it. They're kind of positioning it as a no-code tool that could compete with things like Notion or Airtable. You just give it prompts and it builds these assets.
Okay, that's potentially huge for workflow. Instead of just asking AI questions, you're getting it to build the final product, basically.
Exactly. It suggests AI is moving from just being an assistant to being more of a co-creator or even the primary creator of complex work products.
Which leads us straight into the jobs debate, doesn't it? We saw two really contrasting takes in the sources.
We did. On one side, you've got Dario Amodei, the CEO of Anthropic. His prediction was pretty stark.
Yeah, he suggested AI could wipe out maybe 50% of entry-level white-collar jobs. Half.
But then you have Mark Cuban, the entrepreneur, arguing kind of the opposite.
Right. He's saying, hold on, AI will change jobs, sure, but it'll also create new roles, expand opportunities. He compared it to like previous tech waves that caused disruption, but ultimately led to different kinds of work.
So it's that classic debate, displacement versus transformation. Amodei seeing massive job loss, Cuban seeing adaptation and new possibilities.
And this directly impacts, well, everyone listening. It's about the future of work. It shapes thinking on education, policy.
Mm-hmm.
How do we prepare? Cuban's view really emphasizes that human ability to adapt, you know.
It's a fundamental disagreement about AI's trajectory and its societal impact. A conversation we'll be having for a long time, I suspect.
No doubt. So we've really covered a lot of ground just from those 2 days in May. AI reshaping media deals, making scientific breakthroughs, showing up in courtrooms and military tech, giving us new creative and productivity tools.
And fueling this huge debate about jobs in the future. It's moving incredibly fast, touching almost everything.
It really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we see AI getting capable of doing things like independent scientific research, writing court summaries, generating those complex reports from just a prompt, maybe even influencing political messages.
Yeah.
It leaves us with a big question to chew on, doesn't it?
Definitely.
What is the evolving role for us, for humans, for our oversight, our critical thinking? How do we actually ensure accuracy? How do we maintain trust? How do we even know where information or output came from in a world where AI is generating more and more of it?
That feels like the critical question right now as AI gets woven deeper and deeper into, well, everything, something to really think about.